Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
There are things happening that I can't explain.
We should talk to someone.
I don't think what you're experiencing is a ghost.
Sometimes demons can attach themselves to objects.
What do I do?
Protect your family.
Who are you?
Well, it certainly sounds scary. That's the trailer to the latest horror film that is kind of sweeping the nation called Annabelle. It's connected to a previous film from 2013 called The Conjuring, maybe the backstory to The Conjuring. It comes from a story, at least some allegations made by people, a couple who, they're kind of legends in horror books and horror films. They also gave us, if I'm not mistaken, the Amityville horror. Well, what about horror movies for Christians? What about Christians going to see a film that is not just there to scare you? That's kind of the horror part of it. But is based upon a story claims that there's a demon-possessed doll wreaking havoc on people, whoever happens to possess the doll. Joining us in the first hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, we're going to review the movie Annabelle with Pastor Ted Giese, as we usually do, as often as we can. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us after that. We'll do Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 25. And then we're going to talk about a New York Times column titled The Church's Gay Obsession. Sharif Girgis will be our guest of Princeton University. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or for our beloved on-demand listeners, we have the Issues Etc. comment line. We know that you listen a lot of times weeks after the live broadcast. You can still call us, questions, comments, add to the conversation at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie Annabelle, Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Pastor Giese, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Let's deal first with the genre that we're going to be talking about, because this is pretty typical of horror films today. How would you respond to someone, and many Christians would just rule out categorically the idea of going, much less enjoying as entertainment, a horror movie, number one, because they're intended to elicit fear, and number two, something like Annabelle has demon possession, a demon-possessed doll. How do you respond to that?
I think it's an interesting question. I think that, almost every Christian probably has come across something that frightened them to some extent in some kind of movie. I'll give you an example. I was just teaching a class on the use of the catechism and with young people, like children and stuff and grandchildren, in conjunction with watching movies. And I was teaching this class just recently. And I started with an icebreaker. I asked everyone, what was the first movie you remember seeing? What was your the movie you liked the best and the movie you liked the least? So here we're going around the room, and people had different things. And one of the ladies said that the one that she liked the least was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I thought to myself, and this is a lady probably, she was kind of close to 70 years old. And I thought to myself, what on earth were you doing watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Now, I myself, in the past, have watched it, but I'm not going to sit down on a Saturday afternoon with some popcorn and watch that movie, this weekend or anything. I think I remember when we talked about the movie The Conjuring, you said that you kind of enjoy horror films too. But it doesn't have to be as dramatic or as frightening specifically as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It could be something more mundane, and it could still be frightening. I think that, when you're watching a movie, you have to kind of think about, what is going to be frightening to you. And then the question is that something you're interested in watching? For instance, this particular movie, Annabelle, that we're going to talk about here, my wife, she opted not to go see it. But, we were thinking about going to see this movie, a Brad Pitt movie that's coming up called Fury. And I said, do you want to go see this Brad Pitt movie? Well, it's set in World War II, and there's tanks, and there's going to be fighting and Nazis. And she's like, I don't think I want to see that either. So, I think that in our Christian freedom, we have opportunities to decide what we want to watch and what we don't want to watch. In some cases, some of the things that are available to watch are just not beneficial at all. But each person can kind of make some decisions about that in a discerning fashion. One pastor who has saw the review for this movie, Annabelle, dropped me a little line and said a note and said, I'd like to thank you for watching these movies vicariously for me. Seriously, I don't like this style of movie at all, and it's good to have an informed opinion to work with. So those are some thoughts about the whole thing. Like the genre itself is an interesting genre, the horror genre, because more often than not, it does take the supernatural into account in ways that other genres of films don't. So whether or not it gets it right is another question. But what are your thoughts about horror films?
Well, obviously there's an issue of conscience here, because you can be entertained by horror, be it literature, and it has a long history in literature, by either literature or by films or television, whatever medium may be. You can be entertained the same way you are on a roller coaster. That is, you're just along for the ride. It's a, what would you call it, Ted? A cheap thrill. It's
yeah,
something to kind of get the heart going, and it entertains you for that reason. You can also be entertained in a more in a more perverse way, and that is if you are simply entertained by the gore, the shock, all those kinds of things. I think there the issue of conscience kind of one needs to be honest with oneself and say, look, is this good? Is it good for me? Does this edify in any way? I have no problem with someone going to a movie the same way they'd get on a roller coaster. When someone says, I'm going for the blood and the guts, and that's what entertains me, I'm a little more concerned.
Yeah. Another interesting thing with that, you mentioned literature too, and a lot of times in literature, I don't know if people have read, like I've read some horror literature, in the past different times. And sometimes in literature, they just talk about like a sense of dread or foreboding or stuff. They can use the language itself to kind of get across what's going on. But in a theater, in a movie, in order to get that across, then they use the music and they use the visuals, because the theater, like the movie theater, is a visual place. You know, you have the music and you have the visuals. And that can, elicit an emotional response out of people. So, yeah, that can be that roller coaster ride kind of thing. For me personally, the movies that bother me more are movies that don't have a supernatural element to them, per se. One movie, somebody at one point, we were talking about this very topic, and the question as to what actually is a scary movie that does actually kind of fit with what Lutherans teach about evil and horror and things like that, and sometimes these movies get things really wrong. But a movie that I saw a number of years ago was a movie called The Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that movie, holy crow. My wife was out of town. I was working on a stained glass window project, doing some drawings and stuff, and I had it on in the background. I just kind of turned it on. And 20 minutes into that movie, I turned it off. And I didn't, like, come back to it for weeks because it was just getting under my skin. And the premise in that movie is that you've got this, you know, couple who are coming back from being at a wedding reception, and they're in this kind of isolated cabin in the woods, and then all of a sudden there's a home invasion, and there's these three masked people, and they terrorize them, and they're going to kill them. And it doesn't require there being any supernatural element at all, because humans are just as much capable of evil as anything else in God's creation. And that was, like, terribly frightening. And at the end of it, there was this kind of chilling interchange that occurred where there was this, you know, question this little kid asked. One of the people, who had, like, these three people who did the home invasion, they ask him, you know, like, handing out a religious pamphlet to them after everything's done and the sun's come up and they're driving away and they're stopped by this little kid and hands a pamphlet and says, "Are you a sinner?" And the lady says, "Sometimes." And it was just totally chilling. And she gets in the truck, and the three murderers drive away, and she says, "Next time it'll be easier." It's just, like, totally chilling. So, I mean, if you're looking for horror, I mean, it doesn't always have to be in that supernatural end of things. We have a lot of horror in our world. Another person, you know, commented about some of this stuff and said, was asking about, well, they had this question, and I made note of it. And the person said, "My concern always is that there are too many who do not believe the foundational premise of evil and scoff at this just being a film, but then are aghast when ISIS, ISIL, whatever they're calling themselves this week, beheads some innocent and wonders where that comes from." So, you know, evil comes in all forms, and, you know, it, you know, in terms of watching a movie, you know, like, maybe horror films also provide a service to the society in general, where it does place the idea and the problem of evil in front of people, and it does it in a couple of different ways, like maybe the supernatural angle, maybe the horrific human element of evil too.
Okay, Annabelle, you say this film definitely roots itself in a view of the supernatural. We could even say in view of, if we imply that because there are demons, there's also a God, because there are evil spirits, there is the good. So in a theology of sorts, but you say it's bad theology. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, the film is in this kind of genre of horror film where you've got things like Rosemary's Baby or The Exorcist, stuff like that, where it's in a Catholic, like a Roman Catholic milieu. So you find, like, there's a Roman Catholic priest as a character. You know, they even go to Roman Catholic Mass. You know, you see somebody, like, lighting a candle for somebody who's, you know, all of these kinds of things are in this movie. But it's kind of a veneer, because when you start peeling it back, it's like, yes, they talk about demons and, you know, but when you start peeling it all back, it gets to be very poor theology indeed. And it's kind of deceptive, because you even get, for instance, Jesus gets mentioned kind of bookending the movie in the course of the film. At the beginning and the very end of the movie, there is the priest character is preaching a sermon, and he's quoting from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." And he starts it off, actually, just that little verse earlier, and says, "Jesus says," right? So Jesus gets mentioned in it. But really, like, when you boil it all right down, there's, you know, it's not really the kind of theology that you find directly out of Scripture. Sometimes they get a little close on some things, but other things they get really wrong. So, for instance, one of the things is the topic of ghosts. Now, we talked about ghosts when we reviewed The Conjuring, and we talked about ghosts a little bit when we talked about the 30th anniversary of Ghostbusters. And, you know, we've pointed out at different times that, yeah, you know, like, Scripture does tell us that people believed that ghosts were a thing. But that's not the natural order of things, and really, you know, when a person dies, their spirit goes to the one who created them. There is no wandering spirits who are, you know, restless ghosts in the world. That is more like animism, and that's actually kind of the underpinnings of this film, is more things like animism. So you find a lot of that in Eastern cultures. So there's, you know, a couple movies that this is maybe a little more connected to, might be things like The Grudge or The Ring, movies like that.
So it's dealing with the demonic. It's dealing with the power of evil. How does it deal with evil and the demonic? How would you describe Annabelle's approach?
Well, the whole, I guess, just a quick synopsis of what's going on in the movie. The idea is that this couple expecting their first child are living in a kind of nice suburb. It's 1970. You know, the husband buys this vintage doll for his wife, and they put it in the baby's room. The next door neighbors are fellow Roman Catholics that they go to mass with, and they have a daughter who's run away. The daughter returns home with a boyfriend. Her and this boyfriend are in a satanic cult. They murder her parents, and then they come into the next door neighbor's house. These are the main characters: this Mia and John, who are expecting the baby, who have the vintage doll, and do a home invasion and terrorize them. The cops come in. You know, in the process of all that, the girl barricades herself in the baby's room that they're preparing for their child that's about to come, commits suicide. Her blood gets on this doll, and the idea is that evil that's in her has transferred onto this doll, and now her ghost is in the doll. And then after that, then all the kind of terrible things that are associated with, you know, this kind of stuff kind of unfolds. Turns out the doll isn't really possessed by a ghost. There's this demon involved in it, and then behind the demon is evil itself, really. And the priest character at one point makes this particular comment that's kind of evocative of where things are kind of coming from when it comes to this movie, and it's almost really a philosophical question. And the father, Perez is his name, he says, "Evil is constant. You cannot destroy what was never created." So he's saying this in reference to the demonic in connection with the doll, right? So that's the phrase that comes fairly near the end of the movie and really kind of sticks out as a real kind of what this movie wants you to think about evil. So there's a couple questions in there. Evil is constant. Well, is evil constant? Like, what would constant mean? Is constant like eternal? Or is constant like relentless? If we're talking about evil being eternal, well, evil isn't eternal. If you dial back the clock far enough, at some point in there's just God. There's nothing created yet. And in that, you know, in the Trinity, before creation, there's nothing that can rebel against God, and therefore there is no evil. So in that way, evil is not eternal. You know, the question about, you know, it can't be destroyed, well, does that mean it'll never be dealt with? It's unusual that a Roman Catholic priest would not, you know, talk about God dealing with evil, punishing evil, for instance, or any clergy for that matter. You know, so those are some kind of unusual things that kind of pop up in the movie, and that's kind of the way that evil is presented. The other thing that's really distressing in it is how they kind of flip everything on its head when it comes to one particular thing that happens in the movie. And this is going to be a bit of a spoiler for anybody who's hankering to see this. Come back later if you're that person. But there is a spot in the movie where one of the characters commits suicide. And the way the film director puts it together, the people who wrote the screenplay, this the one fellow Gary Doberman does when he writes the screenplay, they take that suicide and they make it into, they present it as though it's a good thing and that it's God-pleasing.
So finally then, are you with about 30 seconds here, are you concerned, looking at movies like this, and you obviously have watched kind of a broader spectrum of the genre, that people are going to derive, that they can see it as entertainment, and that people are going to derive their view of God, of the devil, of the demonic, of the angelic, from films like this, rather than from a true source of truth like God's Word?
I think the thing to remember is that we're always learning. Like, everyone is always learning. So if you're in a good congregation, regularly there, then you're learning. You're hearing God's Word. If you are studying Scripture regularly, you're learning. You know, if you have abandoned all of that, and the only time you have contact with things of this nature where you're thinking things through, it's a movie like this. This is going to give you answers, but they are bad answers, and they're not the answers that Scripture teaches. Or, you know, it's not what Christians believe, teach, and confess. It might look like it is because on the surface, it has that veneer of Christianity, but it doesn't match up with what actually is believed, taught, and confessed by real, living, breathing Christians, right? So not to say that people can't be off on a tangent with things in their own personal beliefs, but that's not what you're going to find at a Lutheran church if you go and listen on a Sunday morning.
Folks, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie Annabelle at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to do our regular weekly series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, talking about Christ in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 25. And then a little bit later in the program today, we'll respond to the New York Times column titled The Church's Gay Obsession. Sharif Girgis of Princeton University will be our guest.
Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.